Hey there, Fletcher Mall Things Overlanding here, and today I'm doing a follow-up to the previous week's episode of the podcast where I'm going to be talking about the five pieces of gear or five types of gear that I no longer carry or don't really use as much as I thought I would when I first started overlanding 5 years ago. So if you haven't caught that last episode, definitely go back and listen to the previous podcast because those were the five things I do use all the time, but this one's going to be five things I don't. So if you want to hear the five things that I really don't use anymore, stay tuned. When I let you go.
Sandstorm, I fought it, though I wanted it. Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, guys. So as I mentioned in the intro, today I'm talking about five things that I don't really use as much as I thought I would for overlanding. I'm, you know, kind of a gearhead. I've been doing this for quite a while now. I've accumulated a lot of gear over the years, like this solar panel that you see leaning back here that is not in use. But I have learned a lot, and I've kind of analyzed and figured out the things that I do still use quite a bit, and then also the things that I don't. So today I'm going to be talking about those top five things that I no longer use. Now, the first one that I'm going to talk about, I actually did use last weekend, but it was probably the first time I've used it in a year. I do carry these with me still, even though I don't use them that much, because when you need them, they are pretty important. One thing with this and most of the gear that I'm going to talk about is while I don't really use it as much as I thought, it doesn't necessarily mean that you shouldn't have anything like it. So again, keep that in mind. Or one alternative is just to buy something that's cheaper since you're not going to use it that much. Don't waste a ton of your budget. If you've got, let's say your budget is $5,000, don't spend 10% of it on one of these pieces of gear, because if you're like me, you probably won't use it as much as you thought you would. So that first item that I'm talking about today is leveling blocks. Luckily, I spent about $35 on mine. Mine are Camco leveling blocks, and they're very inexpensive. So again, if you do think you'll use those a lot, if you're in a place where you don't have rocks or anything else to level your rig, something inexpensive and something that doesn't take up a ton of room is good, like these leveling blocks. But again, I've had these for probably 3 or 4 years now in multiple rigs, and I've maybe used it a total of 4 or 5 times in the last 4 years. So again, unless that's something that you use all the time, leveling blocks are kind of a kitschy, fun thing that everybody talks about a lot. They talk about leveling their rigs all the time. I'm not that particular about it. As long as I'm mostly level, then I'm generally okay. But so I don't use these nearly as much as I thought. So either spend less money on something like the Camco version, which I'll put a link in the description down below if you're curious what I'm talking about. Or another alternative would be to use something else. So, you know, one of those things that I've said before and that a lot of people say is finding things with multiple purposes is always better for overlanding. So what I mean by that is if you have traction boards. If you have traction boards that you keep on your vehicle all the time, a lot of people will use those for leveling. So you can put those in front of your tires and you can pull up onto those to, you know, adjust your rig to make sure that it's level left to right and front to back. Just to kind of follow up with this here, if you're not familiar with what leveling is, or you're very new to overlanding, when you have a rooftop tent and you need to level out your vehicle so that you're not, you know, leaning up against the wall of your tent or down in the clamshell, if you have a clamshell style tent jammed into one corner of your tent, you do have to level it out sometimes if you can't get a flat spot. So, you know, when you're overlanding, you're out in the middle of nowhere, it may or may not be flat. So you just need something to level it with. Again, if there are rocks or logs, there could be some natural stuff. You could use a shovel and you could dig some dirt up and then use that to level your rig. But, you know, in most cases, it's just easier to throw something like these Camco leveling blocks down, or again, multi-use, use your existing Max Tracks or traction boards that you've got to sort of level your rig since they're already on your rig just in case you need them for recovery.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
All right, so next piece of gear, and some of you may completely disagree with me on this, but it's really going to depend on where you live. It's going to depend on your use case. You know, if you're out west, this may be something you use all the time. So again, this is why I say these are my things. It's not necessarily like meant to say no one should carry these things at all. This is just something that I find myself not using nearly as much as I thought I would. And that is my propane fire pit. I have a little Ignik propane fire pit, and I love the fire pit. The fire pit itself is great. I take it with me everywhere I go, but I have probably used that once in the last year and a half. I live in Indiana, so we have plenty of wood available. There's never a time when I can't just have an open fire on the ground. We don't have fire bans or anything like that. So again, for me, the propane fire pit is really nice to have, especially in the winter or at like an expo. I actually was gonna use it at this last expo we were at, but somebody else already had one, so I didn't need it. But if your use case is always expos and you go with other people, then it's likely that somebody's gonna have that, or you could work with them to have it so that you don't have to carry it with you, because one, they're a little bit heavy, and two, they take up a fair amount of room. So if you're kind of limited on space, a propane fire pit, if you're not gonna use it, is something that, you know, I don't take as much as I thought I would, and maybe something that can save you some room in your setup. But again, comment down below if you totally disagree with that, if you think you would take it everywhere. Again, I still carry mine, like my Camclo leveling blocks. They do take up space in my gear. I just really find that I don't use it nearly as much as I thought I would. All right, so next, I mentioned this a little bit ago. You could use a shovel to dig and level out your rig. The shovel is one of those things where, like, I was like, I need to spend $200 or $300 or whatever a DeMoss shovel costs or a Crazy Beaver shovel costs. And aside from, like, maybe shoveling some coals out of a fire pit every once in a while, I just don't find myself using it a lot. Again, if you're like a big wheeler and you're in a lot of muddy stuff, a shovel can come in handy. You can also, again, using something for multiple purposes, you can, they're not perfect, but use traction boards to dig out. If you got stuck in, you know, loose sand or mud or things like that, you could use those in a pinch as a shovel if you didn't want to carry a separate shovel with you. But, you know, there's added expense that comes with those shovels. The Overlander tax shovels, like the DeMoss or the Crazy Beaver, do cost a great amount of money. I've bought, you know, just cheaper spades and stuff from like a Lowe's or a Home Depot, and those have worked great in the past. They were kind of too big. Again, I didn't find myself using it, so then I reduced down to this little Reaper shovel. Again, I'll put links to all these in the description down below. But that little shovel is great because it's small, but again, I bring that with me on most trips, but I maybe use it once every 30 trips. So it's just not something that I really have found a need for or use a lot. But again, if you do, post up in the comments below and yell at me, it's fine. Now I've got another one that I think is going to be a little controversial, and again, I'd love to hear from you guys on this one, the awning. So I have my OVS 180 awning, and I love that awning. It's great. It's freestanding. It's really easy to set up. You just have to basically attach two straps and sort of pull it tight. But it's enough work that, like, if the weather is nice and it's not raining or it's not winter and snowing and I don't really need it, I don't set it up most trips. And again, I would say that the awning gets set up maybe once out of every 10 or 12 trips, which is pretty infrequent. Maybe two or three times a year I use my awning. And it was a $700 awning when I bought it. I think they're a little less expensive now, maybe like $500, which is a steal for these things. So again, link in the description down below if you want to find one. They also make a 270, which if you have a truck like me, that's really the ideal thing. I've just had it since my SUV days, so I carried it over to this truck. But the 180 awning is a great thing when you need it, but I don't use it that much. And for all that weight penalty, right, I'm definitely reducing my fuel efficiency. I'm increasing my payload on the vehicle. It's about a 60-pound awning, so it is fairly heavy. I just don't use it enough to really justify it. That's where things like a moonshade come in. You know, like a portable, smaller awning that weighs a lot less that you can kind of take in and out of your rig. Something like a moonshade is a great option for that if you don't want something that's permanently mounted, permanently influencing your gas mileage, braking distance, all that stuff, and mounted on your truck. If you want something that looks cool that you don't use, an awning is a great thing. And again, you may use things totally different than I do. I'm just sharing with you guys that I've had like two or three awnings, and I thought I would use every single one of them, and I just really don't. And then the final thing that I wanted to talk about is water filtration. I've been obsessed with water filtration. I've had like two different systems for water filtration. When I took my 2-week Wyoming trip last year, I was like, oh my gosh, this is my chance. I need all this water filtration. We're going to be out in the middle of the, you know, the prairies, and we're going to need water. And if we come across a creek, we may need to refill our water. Honestly, I took a 3-gallon Aquabrick with me on that trip, and the whole 2 weeks we were there, I never even exhausted it. I had some water bottles too that I drank out of primarily. I used the 3-gallon for cooking and cleaning dishes and things like that. We also kind of did like a group vibe where we all kind of cooked together, and we tried to use paper plates and stuff just to make things easier. So there was some of that as well. But if you just plan accordingly, right? Like, you don't really need water filtration unless you're on a much longer trip, or you know, you're very, very remote and you're planning to stay out there for a long time. So again, water filtration, I feel like, is one of those things that a lot of people talk about, or a lot of people show, or you watch those videos and you get really excited about it and you feel like you need it, but you may or may not actually need it. Especially if you're like me and your trips are generally like a week or less, then in most cases you can just bring enough water to not have to worry about filtering water, charging a battery for a water filtration, replacing filters, all that kind of complexity that comes with something like water filtration. Now, again, if you have like a trailer, if you are going for long periods of time, if you are living out of your vehicle, totally different situation, right? The iTahil that I have is fantastic. It's battery powered. It's easy to use. It's easy to swap filters in and out. So something like that makes a great option for people that do need water filtration. But, you know, I've got it. It's sitting on my shelf back here in the back. And since I tested it, I haven't had a need for it in the last few months. So anyways, just something to think about, like really think about your needs and whether you're gonna need to filter water or be out long enough where you think that may be something you're gonna need. As sort of a bonus here, let me throw in another one: hot water heaters, or, you know, heated showers. Things like the Jewelka, like all that stuff. Again, amazing pieces of gear. I'm kind of leaning towards eventually getting something like Kakadu has a little small one, or Camp Lux has one called the Nano, that are all sort of all-in-one units with the pump and everything built into them. They're very small. They're lighter than the old school ones that we've seen. They don't require you to build them in and plumb a bunch of stuff and then hook up propane and do all this. You know, it's just more of a condensed system. But again, I really find that I can most of the time just make it for my trip without taking a shower, or find ways to get a shower. So I'll give you an example. When we went to West Virginia a few years ago, it was like a 4-day, 4-night trip. And what we did was we went out the first night, you know, you're clean, you get a little dirty. Second night, a little bit dirtier. Third day, you know, we're kind of hitting the trails, we're getting exhausted. And then that fourth day, we ended up just staying in a state park that had showers. So if you kind of mix up your trips where you're not all dispersed, if you go dispersed for like 2 or 3 days at a time and then hit a state park or a national park or something that will have showers, then you could use something else to get your showers versus having to carry all that water, because you're gonna go through a lot more water with a shower, plus power consumption needs, plus propane. There's just a lot of complexity that comes with the shower stuff that I didn't really think about. I thought I needed one. And again, now that I've tested a few of them out, I'm like, this is too complex. I'm not gonna use these. And I really haven't used them. Another option is something like the FlexTail small pump. I'm actually dropping a video on that here before too long, but I'll put a link to that in the description down below. But it's just a really small battery powered pump that you can place into any water source. So even if you wanted to use cold water to wash your dishes, or cold water to get a cold shower really quick, you could do that with a much easier, simpler setup than a built-in hot water heater. All right, so that's gonna do it for the 5 things plus a bonus that I don't really use anymore. Again, these are completely subjective, right? So I'd love to hear from you guys in the comments down below. Let me know if there's things that you think I missed, or things that you guys thought you would use all the time, but you don't. Or if there's things that I said that you think are just, you know, you can't leave them at home, post up about those in the comments down below if you're on YouTube as well. If you're on the podcast, hit that favorite button, add it to your favorites, leave a 5-star review if you enjoy the content, that helps a ton. And there'll be links in the description down below to all my other social channels. So wherever you want to come hang out, if you'd like to join the conversation in a more active way, come over to Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you want to come, I'm in all those places. Also in the description down below is a link to my website where I've got funny overlanding camping themed patches, stickers, things like I hate people so I camp, or F people, let's go overlanding, you know, funny stuff like that. Don't burn your wiener and it's a hot dog. A weekend warrior and it's a jerry can. There's a ton of different options down there, and I think they're great. So if you want to check those out, check those out. Also, if you're on YouTube, below this video is a new thing that is the join button, just sort of a passive way to support the channel. If you're enjoying the content and you want to, you know, get early access to stuff and some other perks and benefits, check that button out. Then last but not least down below, there's also a link to my Patreon group where we've got a 24/7 Discord. We all kind of chat about our gear and our rigs and stuff. We do a once a month call, and we're going to do a couple of trips every year. So coming up on kind of trying to plan the first one right now, but then every year we're going to be doing a couple of those. So that'll be a ton of fun. And there's more people joining every day, and it's just a fun place to hang out. And I appreciate you guys. And then the Newbie Overlanders group, totally free to join. Lots of awesome people in that group. So we'd love to have you over there. But again, thanks so much for watching. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.